Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, TJ.
Mark, how are you, Marco? How is everything going out in the Bigfoot world? Super fine. That's even better than good. I like that. Oh, my goodness. You know, where does the time fly? You know, weeks and weeks go by. Every Wednesday night, we get to talk about Bigfoot. It's like a dream come true. We get to talk to people all across the USA, friends, some of them, people that we haven't met yet that we're going to meet soon. But, you know, everybody does have a story, Marco, and if we keep sharing it amongst ourselves and all our friends and family, someday, real soon, we're going to come to an end, don't you think?
I think so, too.
You know, we're getting ready to go out on an expedition, spend about 2 months on the road, crisscrossing the U.S., and it's going to be a weird season. I mean, I don't know about you folks, but out here in Indiana, we had snow yesterday, okay? It didn't last for very long. Maybe it was about a half an inch, and it burned off by the next day, but we still had snow. What is this? It's supposed to be still April, right? Yeah, you know, mid of April. Well, the seasons are changing. I think the migrational routes are going to change this year, and it's going to be for the better. I think creatures are going to be more prevalent, so it'll be more seen than they have in a long time. Just my theory. That's all. Just my theory. Now, we got some great guests for you tonight. We got some new ones. We got some old ones that will be checking in with us. And we got some folks that are just going to tell us what's happening in their area. Marco?
Yes.
Do we have all our guests tonight?
Well, we're missing a few, but that's all right. Big D hasn't dialed in yet. Zeke hasn't dialed in yet.
All right. So, home in Arkansas. Okay. But that don't matter. You know,
here's
what
we used to do that.
Story.
We have Jeff, we have Jody, we have Dustin, we have Youngblood, Rocky, Swede, and we have Christy from Arkansas.
Okay, so we got a pretty much a meld from across the U.S. You know, I want to introduce our first guest, kind of give you a little preview. He's a scout leader and lives in Missouri, spends time out in the woods with his troop. And, you know, it's actually the first time I've ever heard a story about, you know, a troop and their scout leader, you know, coming in encounter with this creature. I think it's pretty amazing, actually, you know, that they actually, you know, you're going to tell stories. You're going to talk about the boogeyman. You're going to talk about the Bigfoot. You're talking about a lot of things when you're sitting around a campfire. But for this gentleman and his troop, it's kind of amazing that, you know, a few of the adults that were out there all knew what was happening. They actually found tracks. Before I don't want to let everybody tell his story, I want to bring him on in. His name is Jeff. He's from Missouri, and he's here to share this story with us tonight so that everybody kind of knows what's going on out there in Missouri. And I want to say it was Lake Tacoma, if that was correct. Is that right, Jeff?
No, it's actually I'm right outside of Independence in the area where it happened was Lake Jacomo.
Lake Jacomo, okay.
Lake Jacomo, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice little area. It's a wooded area, but it's also surrounded by a lot of suburb too. So it's kind of in and out of as far as houses go. But it was one of the original lakes in the area, and it's a nice little area.
And you take your troop up there quite a bit to go camping?
Yeah, we go out about once a year to the area, to the campground that's considered as the grouping or the group campground, which is on the other side of the lake. So it's kind of secluded from the rest of the population. And
so would you call
there's
it a primitive campground, or is it like one of the campgrounds where they got the tables and, you know, fire pits and all that?
Well, it is a primitive campground, but they do have areas cordoned off. I think it's 10 different sites that you can use. And in each site, there's a few picnic tables and places for fire pits and that kind of stuff.
Okay, but pretty much secluded, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. And it's a nice little area where people like to bike and run, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you were telling me a couple days ago, you know, you guys, I think it was you had found the tracks the previous day and then heard them in the night. Go ahead, tell your story. Go ahead.
Well, basically, we arrived at the campground and started to set up camp. And I just took a quick walk down through the woods, just kind of get a lay of the land particular. And then I started noticing the tracks. And I thought, wow, this is really unusual. And so started looking into it a little further, and the day before it had just rained, and so they were pretty prevalent going every which direction down there. And so I kind of got excited, and I went and got one of the other leaders, who's a full-blooded Lakota Indian, and she got excited too. And by the time that we could really comprehend what was going on, a lot of the kids had stepped in the tracks, and they just kind of looked at them and, oh, that's cool, but they kind of got messed up. So she kind of cordoned off an area for me, and I ran to Hobby Lobby and got some plaster of Paris. I was going to make some castings, and so while doing that, we got the castings made, and we had some good conversation over it and about the history and trying to find out more about the area, just Googling while we were standing there. So that was the basic track story, and they were everywhere. So it wasn't just one or two tracks, and it wasn't just a straight line of tracks. It's like they had actually been living there. That was the first day.
Different size tracks. I'm sorry to interrupt. Different, you know, maybe dad, you know.
Yeah.
Could you just?
Yeah, there were several different size tracks, for sure. And it made it real easy to see just because of the rain the day before. There was a lot of area for them to walk through and a lot of good track-making ability there that day. And then that night, I had gotten up early about 4:30 in the morning. I just can't sleep in a tent very often. And I was making coffee, and it was pretty quiet in the woods then. And then I started hearing some rustling going on. It was about 25 yards away, and I could see some movement over there, which looked pretty large. And so I just kind of sat there for a while, waiting for the coffee to finish. And then they started talking. And at first, they kind of sounded like higher-pitched birds talking. It kind of reminded me of two women exchanging recipes, just kind of cackling back and forth. And so as I sat there and listened to them, and really probably it's either they're exchanging recipes or trying to figure out how to cook us because we were in our area. We kind of got a good joke out of that between Becky and I. And then that after it got daylight and everybody was getting up, I went over to that area and I found a lot more tracks with the varying different size of feet. Wow. It was kind of fun and interesting. And you know, I'd kind of read about Bigfoot and Bleep before, but really just an accidental encounter with what we had. And it was kind of exciting.
So did running into these tracks and hearing that creature, did it more substantiate what you thought? Wow, Bigfoot maybe wasn't real, but now that he is. And what do you think your kids thought about that?
Well, the kids were kind of noncommittal, especially my son, because he knew I'd been reading about it or off and on, or even watched it on TV over the years. And he was like, okay, so there's a track, no big deal. I'm like, well, don't you kind of believe now? Well, maybe if I saw him. All right, so you see a track, but you really got to see him now. And a lot of the kids were kind of that way. And sure. It was interesting to a couple, and some of them, they just could kind of care less. And it was really more exciting to me and some of the other adults than the kids.
Sure, sure. I'm curious to know if your Native American troop leader kind of understood more or maybe explained it differently, because we've traveled across the U.S. and we've been on all the reservations and talked to all the different the tribes, and all of them have different stories about Bigfoot, which is, to me, it's just amazing in itself. And so many of them have it goes back thousands of years, even in their oral history. Was there anything she or he said about it?
Now, through our conversation we were having, of course, her clan referred to him as Green Eyes. And even her kids got up in the morning, and well, after they got up, and they kind of heard him in the night, or the conversation in the night too, and they were kind of excited. Her kids were more excited about it, I think, than anybody. And, did you hear him? Like, yeah, it was pretty cool. but she, you know, her people were only believe that if they like you or want to be seen by you, then they'll make themselves noticed to you. Or, you know, it's more or less you should feel special that you actually got to experience it than a lot more people than that are the non-believers.
Right. I've heard that story so many times that it's an honor, it's a privilege, it's something divine, if you know, with some of these tribes, and it kind of sounds that way with her tribe, which, you know, to me, the first time I saw the creature, you know, everybody knows my story. I thought it was a guy out in a monkey suit, kind of messing with us in the swamp, trying to get a good laugh, and I was going to put an end. And I went running out there to prove everybody wrong, and I realized that, okay, this isn't a guy in a monkey suit. Now what am I going to do, dummy? it just kind of looked at me and shook his head, kind of tilted, and walked away. So myself, feel it was an honor, you know, that I got to finally see one, you know.
Yeah, it kind of was, and you know, I think it was. In a way it was presented, I didn't run right over because I didn't know if I would be more scared than they were or what would happen. So, just as I sat there, and a lot of things ran through my head, and I was making the coffee, and of course it smelled good in the woods. And I thought, well, maybe they'll come over and want some coffee. So what do I do if they want coffee, you know?
Right. What happens then? That's awesome. So now that you've actually experienced the tracks, you've heard the sound. You've possibly seen, you know, dark, heavy-looking creatures in the woods. Would you say you're more of a believer than you were, or are you one of those special guys that's still waiting to actually have a face-to-face with them, or what?
Well, in my particular case, I was a believer before, and it was more exciting to me to actually finally do it in an unexpected way, because I wasn't,
right.
you know, I wasn't out hunting or anything. It just kind of happened, and I was like, wow, this is really, really neat and special that it happened this way versus trying to really go find them. And it was
wow.
just an accidental encounter.
You know, the accidental encounters are probably more prevalent across the U.S. and Canada than anything else. It's people just, you know, out doing what they were going to normally do, and then smack dab, bam, it's wow. And then they're shaking their
yeah.
heads. Wait a minute, what are you looking at? Wait a minute, somebody out here messing around, they putting footprints in the ground, and, you know, somebody messing with me, because, you know, you got a second. I guess it would almost be like if you actually saw Santa Claus come down out of the chimney, you know, you'd be like, what? Who's robbing my house, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
So what did your son think?
He was the one that was just kind of shaking his head, just going along, whatever. Okay, Dad.
Because
I was jabbering.
Right?
Yeah. And I was jabbering, and I was excited about it, and he was just kind of, yeah, shaking his shoulders, and he was kind of more like it was an everyday encounter.
I got to ask you a question. It's popping into my head right now. So, because I used to be a scout leader years ago when my kids were young. And
mm-hmm.
nowadays, I'm trying to think, what would, because I'd be excited if I was a kid, if I saw that. Are they out there with their cell phones nowadays?
Yeah, they had their cell phones out there, and a few of them took pictures of the tracks, the ones that were really interested, and Becky's kids,
right.
who are the Indians, they did too, so they were kind of excited about it, but the majority of the kids that were with us, you know, more or less cared less. And
yeah, they were on their cell phones playing those Twitters and Facebooks and all that, I'm sure. You know, that's we get out and we try to cross the U.S. and we try to get people back into the woods because, you know, I tell people this, you know, these creatures, they're nocturnal. They travel and feed at night. They want nothing to do with us, okay? And people go, well, how can they exist? No way. I said, look, they're out in the woods at nighttime, okay? You're not out in the woods
right.
at nighttime. No, people nowadays, if it's 7 o'clock, they're sitting behind that big bright screen sitting in their living room, and they're watching that, or they're watching the little blue screen on their face, you know, they're not out there seeing what's happening on this planet. And then they tell you that it would never exist because we would have found it by now. Well, who's going to find it if you're going to sit on your computer or watch your TV, you know?
Right.
It made me, a lot of my guys that are out there, we try to get the word out that, you know, you got to get back out in the woods. You know, we're losing a lot of things, what we used to know. Being a scout leader, I'm sure you know that.
Oh, yeah, and that's pretty prevalent, the amount of the kids that, just like you described, just want to sit there and do that all day long versus get out and do something fun.
So even after you saw the prints the day before, then the night came by, then the noises came, and then when you went over to the area where they were at, which is a different area, I'm assuming, and there was more tracks, they still weren't interested?
No, no, really, they weren't, which was kind of kind of unusual.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do, right? Get those phones away.
Yeah. You
know?
You can't make them be interested.
You know?
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories. Do you mind hanging on for a second? I got some other people that might want to ask you a question. Would that be okay?
Sure, no problem. Sure.
Marco, can we open it up real quick to see if anybody has a question for Jeff?
Sure, I gotta unmute a whole bunch of people, though. Here we go.
Okay. We'll just take a moment and see if they have any questions.
Hi, guys. It's Rick from Medford, Oregon. How is everybody?
Hey, Rick. How are you? Do you have a question for Jeff?
Yeah, I got a quick 30-second story. I want him to give his opinion on what it is I might have seen, if possible, a few years back.
All right.
parents, my father was a developer up in the Medford, Oregon area, if you know the area at all. It's in the middle of nowhere in south central Oregon. He was developing a lot of land. Some of it was old Native American land near a casino. And we actually lived there while the majority of this majestic area was being built. There was a couple of people that lived in the neighborhood with us, and a swimming pool was built possibly, I'd say, maybe a quarter of a mile down the road from us. And we would hear weird things late at night, howls and screams that you don't normally hear in the woods, not of a owl or a bear or even a wolf. And one morning, very, very early while I was getting the newspaper, we heard the noise again in one of the swimming pools.
Bless me.
And when we investigated and went over to the back of this home, we found out that it, what we saw was not a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. It was actually just Darrell, the black neighbor kid, skinny dipping, and he had a huge cock. I mean, this fucker must have been 16 inches long. This dick was huge. Now, what would you do with something like that, partner? Is that something you take some photos of, or maybe go over and pull on it? What are we talking about here? I mean, it was large, big balls. You know the story. Is that something you can kind of give me a little bit of an insight on, guys? Some a big, huge black penis in Oregon. We don't see many of those here.
Well, if you pull on.
Sorry about that, Jeff. Sometimes we get some whack jobs that come on the show and ask questions.
No problem.
Yeah. Marco, go ahead and
Whoa.
Move everybody out.
Say again. Hey, I'm closing down all the lines here, I think.
Yeah, closing down. Okay, Jeff, thought there was a serious question, but the caller was just, you know, Mark that number.
Yeah.
7-8-5-1-2-5-1-8. Well, folks, I do apologize, but there are no believers out there who take us serious, and that's just what happens, especially when you're on a live show.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, is this Doyle?
Tom, this is Doyle. Sorry.
Doyle, how are you?
I'm doing real well, and if I could get the address of that son of a bitch that just came on here, I'd go over and whoop his goddamn ass, is what I'd do.
Unfortunately, all I got is a phone number, so I'll get that to you. You can look it up for us later. How's that sound?
You get me an address, I'll go stomp his ass. That's what I promised
you,
Tom G.
You got it, Bill. Once again, I want to apologize, Jeff. Sometimes that happens, and you know, I want to thank you for coming on the show this evening and sharing your story with us, because you know we do believe that it's important. And if anything ever happens again, we'd love to have you come back on and, you know.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Not a problem.
You know, okay. Well, folks, we're going to hit a commercial and want to again thank our guest, Jeff from Missouri. And on the way back, we're going to probably hit, it looks like, what, Zeke on the way back side of the radio commercial, Marco?
I don't have Zeke dialed in yet.
Okay. Well, who are we going to hit back on the backside?
We can go with Ken from Michigan.
Okay,
we have Jody. We
let's
got
hit
Dustin.
Ken on the back side of the commercial.
Okay, here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back.
Outstanding. Well, folks, if you're just joining us, we just got done talking to Jeff in Missouri, and what a story, Marco. What do you think about that? Is that awesome?
It's pretty intriguing, really.
You know what intrigues me
more
is that
it's kind of a lesson that we all, all of us, he believed in Bigfoot before, right? But boy, did it ever reinforce. and the time when he really had an encounter was when he least expected it, right?
Yeah. And it blows me away is that, you got scouts that I'm thinking to myself, what make a scout not even care about it? I'm guessing their parents must have forced them to become scouts because some of them really were interested and other ones weren't. And then it blows me away that they're out there with their cell phones and they're not even getting away from technology, It's different. It's different. It's kind of strange. But, even after the second night, after they were there and they were put somewhere else, the kids weren't even worried about it. I guess it collage of people to understand, care about, and even want to worry about if there's a Bigfoot in the woods or not. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
I know that if there was more prints fresh from the night before that we were there, man, would I be jived. I would never be asleep again.
I know.
I guess our next guest tonight, we got Ken checking in from Michigan. All right. It's been a while since we talked to Ken. Maybe he's got some good news for us. What do you think?
I hope so, yeah.
All right.
Ken, he's probably got his. Take your phone off. I'm mute, Ken.
Did you say Ken?
He is, yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Ken, how are you, buddy?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but. I was talking about how the weather was here yesterday, and it was snowing here in southern Indiana yesterday. But I know you're up in Michigan. Did you guys get any snow, or how's it changing for you? Is it supposed to be spring, or is it still winter for you?
Well, we had 5 inches or 6 inches of ice balls. It's kind of like that ice cream that's little balls, and it just kind of built up. It's a new kind of something kind of crazy. I've never had sleet go that level to where it was 5 inches tall, but it was kind of exciting. And then tonight we've got flakes the size of like silver dollars out there. So it's pretty nice out there. It's a winter wonderland, that's for sure.
So here it is. It's supposed to be spring and it's still snowing even up there and as far south as where I'm at. So it's got to make me think about the creatures if they're hunkering down or we're getting ready to start migrating. Have you had anything happening on your property?
Well, we think things are changing from the way they were because we had a quiet spell where everything was just real quiet. We only seen a few deer that were hanging out eating apples and kind of hanging out. And then things have changed. We've seen a mountain lion since then, and she was pregnant. And then we've seen some big objects moving lately around the property. And I mean, kind of a little bit different than what we're used to, because you look out of the corner of your eye and something large is moving, and you're like, what was that? And then you start staring over, trying to figure out where it went, and you're trying to go and see if you can see any tracks, and it's just been a different time of year, and I never realized that these guys are on, like, a schedule, so they just started appearing up here.
Wow, do you think they're, well, you kind of say you're seeing them off your peripheral vision. Are they kind of like walking the perimeter of your farm there where you got the animals rescued? Folks, Jeff has a rescue up in Michigan, just so you guys all know. He brings in animals, cares for them. I don't know what you do with them after that, Jeff, but I do know, I mean, Ken. So just to let the folks know that you have a rescue.
Yeah, we just pretty much rescue them, and then we keep them here until they die. It's a sanctuary, and then so a lot of wild animals like to hang out in the area and snack on food. Like we have flying squirrels that only come out at nighttime, and they're really interesting. I was showing my wife the squirrels the other night. She was out there, and I told her to hold still, and a squirrel flew right past her face, and it was pretty interesting, you know, to see a male and a female, and the female was pregnant. A lot of things are pregnant right now around here, so pretty active.
So with the creature moving around your area, do you think he's intentionally just being curious, or do you think he's looking for a handout? What do you think's happening? Because I remember almost a year and a half ago when, you know, the one knocked you down.
Yeah, we're thinking these are different creatures, entirely different batch. They're not the exact same ones. The same ones aren't in the same area. They probably come back more north to a similar area, maybe, is what we're speculating. But we believe that these are totally different ones, and these ones are kind of fearful of a lot of things that have been going on. I'm not sure what. I can kind of get that feeling that they move really fast. Faster, way faster than the ones that ran into me. And so it's like really got to pay attention, and they're moving around and they're kind of active and a little scared and stuff, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe it's from the movement from coming back up north, or if they hibernate during the winter. Some old dude was telling me that bears and big animals hibernate and stuff, and that he thought that maybe they hibernated too.
Well, you know, that theory's been thrown around a lot, but we've also seen a lot of, you know, images and actually sightings where they've been out in the snow, but maybe that's just, you know, a lone one or something it's being caught, you know, at a glimpse of. Because, I mean, it doesn't make sense that if the food's not there, that they're going to have to hibernate to, you know, save their energy and stuff. But right now they should be starting to move south out of your area, coming down this way. So maybe the one, I'm trying to think, if you're close enough to Canada to where you're getting some that are cross, feeding across the Canadian border there.
Yeah, actually, I think that we're a few hours away from Canada, different directions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that makes it pretty accessible if something's traveling this way or that way to come across here. We're actually close to the North American Trail, which is a trail that crosses Canada in the U.S., and I believe it crosses Mexico from what I've heard. And a lot of hikers take that, and I've been hearing stories that they see a lot of really unique things, and they don't want to go into it right away, just like unique creatures. And they start looking at you when they say it, like, are you going to say Bigfoot? What are you going to say? You know, and then I'm looking at him, I keep go, like, what kind of unique creature is a unicorn? What did you see? You know, I'm just like, I try to mess with them just to see what they'll say. Because, you know, seriously, before I got ran into, I never would have said Bigfoot. So, I mean, you know, once Bigfoot ran into me, I was like, well, I've seen a Bigfoot. That's for sure. It broke two of my ribs. So it makes a big difference of, you know, where you're at, who you are, and what you see to, you know, what you're going to be thinking about. So it's kind of unique that we can share that knowledge with other people and that they have an idea of what we've seen and felt and heard and, you know, went through. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I mean, just that you even have a rescue, that's an awesome thing, you know. Hey, just get a shameless plug out for your rescue so people know if they're around, if they have animals, you can bring them over.
Yeah, actually, somebody just brought a rabbit over not too long ago, a female rabbit, and she was a pet inside somebody's house, and she likes to hug and give you a little kiss on your cheek if you hold her long enough. Her name's Lulu, and we just keep collecting them. And we got a mini pig from Africa, like from the Lion King, the little pig with the tusks. We got one of those over the winter. And he's pretty interesting. And then we still have the giant pigs that we had and a lot of ducks and stuff. But I think we've gained some really large creatures that move really fast, and I've really noticed it more than I ever have any time that I've lived here. So it's kind of interesting to observe their movement and see stuff moving around out there, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, what was that just now that just moved across there, you know?
Right. Have you lost any of your animals to any of these creatures that you believe?
Nope, no losses on any animals, and we actually have made maybe small contact through different methods of just, you know, leaving real exciting things to snack on for the animals and stuff. We took bags of apples out for the deer, and I took some other stuff out there and left it out, and it seemed like the animals really liked it. And I've put some things up higher, and they disappeared. And I've just been, you know, just kind of doing observations on different stuff, and they really like it.
So you've been experimenting. What seems to be working best for you?
Well, I've noticed, like, you know, we kind of said, and we were thinking about it, you know, like this, some guy was saying something about he put anchovies and peanut butter outside and they ate it, and then he smelled like these real rotten eggs when he felt that he encountered Bigfoot, and
right.
I was like, that's probably because of the anchovies he left out there. Bigfoot
peanut butter. Sure.
Yeah,
that
he farted,
sense.
Dude.
Yeah,
and it was some really nasty farts from whatever he was eating. So, like, if you give him really exciting, cool things to eat, you probably won't have that rotten egg fart gas, you know what I'm saying, from anchovies.
Sure.
If you give him, like, exciting things to eat that are, you know, more wholesome, like something people would be eating. And he really, you know, some people eat anchovies, but it's real limited that you're just going to sit and eat anchovies out in the woods, you know.
Sure.
So, yeah, and then, you know, you just had a lot of different thoughts about their origin, where they come from, how they were developed. You know, we've kind of been doing some more research and development on different wild animals because we're in a national forest. And we're pretty excited about what we've got out here this year, this new breed of Bigfoot is different than last year. They kind of look more skinnier and faster. I don't know if it's they haven't been eating as much because it was cold, or they've been asleep for the winter or what have you, but they're looking a little thinner and hungrier, and they move faster. So we're pretty excited too.
I tell people, you know, the one that I saw down in Texas was nothing like the normal giant-looking Bigfoot. It was more skinnier and, you know, didn't have as much hair on it, and it was very fast. You know, I don't know if there's different breeds of them out there. I mean, I think there probably would be, you know, and I'm sure they're migrating certain routes, eating certain things, and getting whatever they could eat, you know. It just kind of, it intrigued me. So, what do you think the origin of these creatures are?
Oh, it's so weird that you said that because I just kept watching, like, outside, and I kept looking out. We have a, you know, fairly large window that looks into the forest, and that's our view. And then we don't have TV or anything because we don't get anything back here. We're way back in the woods. Nothing, literally, not even satellite dish, nothing. So So we're back here, wow. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm trying to think about, like, how would these creatures have come about, you know? Like, and I'm looking at different animals to see, like, you know, what animals might have breeded together to get them, and I just keep trying to think about it. And, you know, if you let your mind wander and you start thinking about a lot of the things that happen and a lot of the changes, like, say, for instance, the chemtrails and the different things and the different changes, and I started looking into that, and then I noticed a lot of stuff that was going on in Russia and stuff that they're doing out in the wild in Russia, and these people that lived out in the wild in Russia for like 40 years, and they were interacting with animals and just living out there, and these people didn't even look like they had aged at all from being out there. And
really?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I watched like a load of videos on them. And you start to just, like, kind of pick up knowledge really quick, kind of getting an idea of, like, how they're created, where they come from, why they look so healthy and young. Maybe the Bigfoots have transformed from something that they were before into a Bigfoot. You know, that's kind of a thought that, you know, really goes to your mind. Like, you know, has something altered a DNA system to change something into a Bigfoot? I mean,
oh,
aren't they similar? Are they similar shaped as people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it for a minute, they're kind of shaped like us. And maybe in the transformation, they get a little bit bigger because there's so many missing people. And then there's these creatures of different kinds and different kinds of people being missing. And I just kept going, like, I'm just kind of, and these people just kept going on and on about how Russia had done experiments on animals and people in the wild and all this stuff, and I just kept going on and on about it.
But the DNA of these people has altered in such a way that it makes them more adaptable to the forest life and living, kind of like a caveman?
I'm really, really curious to that,
yeah.
You know, because they adapt to making noises. You know, I swear, when I was out here checking these baby goats at 4:30 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, right about then, I thought I heard something talk to me outside. And I turned around and looked into these pine trees, and I swore something said something. And I was looking over there, and I seen something large kind of move away fairly quickly. And I was looking over there, and I was just wondering myself, can you imagine if you had transformed into something, into a creature that people just wanted to kill you and do mean things to you or go crazy after you or whatever. And so you just had to keep running and hiding out. And different people were appearing like that from whatever, you know, and you start, you know, it just kind of really, you'd have to think about it for a moment, you know, because if you're slightly, inquisitive and intelligent, you know, your mind has to adapt to different things to be able to figure out stuff. So you have to just kind of like really fall into something before you realize exactly what it is.
Sure.
And
sure.
It was just something that just kind of came about that we were thinking about and talking about, and it's kind of been going on. And, you know, such, I'm trying to make contact with these new skinnier like versions of them. And
well, you know we're
going to
be up in Michigan sometime in probably mid-May, so possibly, hopefully, we can come up there and help you look for the skinnier new versions, and maybe we can make contact, sit around the fire, and, you know, I've been reading some stuff about some drumming, you know, some drumming brings them in, and we can kind of do something like that. What do you think?
That sounds good. And then my friend... my Native American friend is down in Texas right now, Guyan, and he should be back about then. And he came with us to open the animal rescue, and he's the one that was telling us about a lot of stuff, him and his dad. And it was just really interesting because right after he said a lot of that stuff, he left my house, and then like a week later, you know, I get rammed in the rib cage and get broken ribs from Bigfoot. So, I mean, it's just so... so interesting, you know, that just different stuff happens and people talk about it, and then you really realize, like, wow, this is really going on. You know, you never would think something, you know, just like it's not even possible. And then the next thing you know, you're like checking it out.
Sure. You know, Ken, it's always a pleasure when you come on. You've always opened my mind up a little bit more into different possibilities. I want to thank you. We've got a whole bunch of other guests that we got to get to. Like I said, if anything changes, anything happens, you've got my number. I'm going to give you a call when we get to the Michigan area, and hopefully we can, if anything, meet up, have a little lunch, and talk about Bigfoot, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
All right,
are you,
buddy.
Are you bringing Marco Bill with you? Is Marco coming
No, Marco, okay. He's going to be staying in California, you know, handling the Bigfoot right. Hotline for us.
I didn't Alrighty. Know if we could get him out of Cali and get him over here or not, so.
I'm sure he'd love to go, but.
It is nice during the summertime and the spring over here. It's not bad.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
I have a wheelchair.
Hey, they got those motorized ones with the big knobby wheels, so you could really get going.
I get a 327. Get a 327 and go scoot across.
I know. They got a lot of two tracks that go through this national forest, and people like go and camp out for days out in this forest. It's so big, and there's just so much space. It's just unbelievable, you know. So it's kind of exciting.
Thanks for coming on, Ken.
Yeah, thank you. It's good talking to you guys again.
You have a great day, Ken.
Marco, you too.
Let's do a commercial. I've got enough time to come back with Jody, and I think that's going to probably finish us up.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Wow.
And we are back.
You know, I'll tell you, Ken, he's got such an open mind for this. It just blows me away. It's so awesome about the things that he thinks about, you know, just pondering about the creature, you know.
It's pretty interesting.
Did we get Dee or Rob or anybody else on, Marco?
Let's see, Dee didn't come on.
Okay.
What we have currently, we have Dustin, Jody, and Christy.
Okay, well, let's get Dustin on for a few minutes, Jody for a few, Kristen for a few minutes, and then we'll finish it off with Jody then.
Okay.
You know, we had so many guests. All right.
Well, I got to find I got to find Dustin. I lost Dustin. Oh, no. What happened? Oh, here he is. Here he is. I got too many phone numbers on the thing. Dustin, you're
hey,
on,
guys.
Buddy.
Hey, Dustin, how are you, buddy? From Florida?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's nice down here.
Is it? You know, I was, I don't know if you're listening, but it was snowing here yesterday, which is just amazing at this time of year. But,
yeah, that's,
you know,
I was just,
you know,
talking
can't
to my
wait
dad.
To get that.
He got like 2 inches last night. Said more snow is coming. I said, are you going to get spring? He goes, that's a summer. What the heck?
Sure. You know, it's expedition season. We're going to be coming down and seeing you soon. Hopefully we're going to capture or a Bigfoot on picture or film or something, and we can prove to the world,
yeah,
and you can put him in one of your wonderful books and get it published and get all the accolades that come with that. Anything new been happening down there?
Well, you know, not a whole lot. You know, I'm sure they're migrating more, like we were talking about, but talking about the books, man, I was sitting here today putting the finishing touches on the second one, and I put in like 20 images, like full color HD images of Bigfoot sign and evidence that just I found and followed through the woods, and to show other people what to look for and stuff. And I'm excited,
right,
about people being able to see that. They,
well, outstanding. You know, like I said, it's getting ready to get down there. Expedition season's going to hit. I'm thinking we're probably going to be to you sometime in May. You know, what do you think about that?
That'd
is that good enough for you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anytime in May.
Okay.
I was talking to my buddy that has access for us to that 3,000 acres on the Apalachicola River. His daughter, the only thing that May 4th, but he said, you know, by the 7th, 8th, and 9th would be a great time to come, to tell you the truth. I'm off on those days also. We're just going to meet you out there, and if you wanted to come out there, that'd be great, May 7th, 8th, 9th. But if you wanted to plan a different date, fine, but those days would be perfect. We could go out there and show you all kinds of sign and evidence, you know, do some filming,
okay,
and stuff like that.
Sounds good to me. I put you down there for those dates just to make sure, and if it changes, I'll give you a call, buddy. You know, I hate to rush you off, Dustin, but we went long with Ken and actually with Jeff, so I got to get to these other two callers, and I want to thank you for coming on and sharing and letting us know what's happening up.
Thank you, TJ. Yeah, those stories are pretty good. I can't believe those kids weren't as interested as they so I would have been, like you were saying. That's
yep,
going on when they're camping. That was crazy, man.
Yep, absolutely, buddy. Well, good to hear from you, buddy, and you have a great day.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Marco, let's bring in Christy for a few minutes, and then we'll finish up with Jody.
Oh, we don't have a few minutes. Can we bring Jody on? She's got something pretty important to talk about.
Absolutely. We'll bring Jody on.
Comes.
I want to apologize to somebody else that we couldn't get to you,
yeah,
but maybe we'll have you back.
I'll try to get Christy next week. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We just had too many people.
Jody,
sir.
How are you, honey?
I'm doing better. How are you?
Tell us. Wonderful.
Hello?
Tell us what happened. What's going on?
Well, not a whole lot. Maybe you can help catch me up on speed here with these people.
Okay.
The last phone call, you know, the next day who showed up, I told you. I told Marco who showed up the next day. Tell him, Marco.
Who showed up? When she entered the show last week, the next day she had, like, men in black coming around her house trying to harass her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and she was kind of scared and frightened.
I see how it would be.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So,
I mean, I was outside. They come in a shiny black car, black tinted windows, and I knew what they were filming. They were just sitting there. They pulled in real fast, grilled their tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew who they were. Because, like Kentucky, I told you guys what they looked like in the helicopter when they came.
Right.
I don't know how they found me, but they did. Because, Jane, like I said, they're here, too, where I'm at. And you know where I'm at, Marco, but another guy that called me that you know, and he said he lives not far away because I'm in the honey hole. I said, that's great, you know. I know people think they don't come out in the winter, but they do. And they come out in the daytime, they do. And they come out at night, they do. I call them the wild man, you know, they're just so big and they look so human looking. But they're scary, and I just want people to know that. I just always want to keep warning people because it's something. People out there that listens and they think they know what they're doing. I mean, I'm not talking about you guys, but others that listen to your show.
Right.
You know, when I, like I told you, when I stepped that camera and got the best footage ever, but you got one of the footage, you know, the daytime footage with the black and white one and the one in the building, the revenue show, throwing out stuff in the daytime. But I'm talking about the footage me and Jane got live that night. I wish I could show you all that one, but that was taken from us.
Now, what happened with the men in black when they showed up to your house after the show? Did they do anything to you? Are you okay?
No, they just, I know they were filming me.
Uh-huh. Why do you think they came by? Take your time. You okay, Jody?
Yeah. I'm scared of here my family is listening to another state that's embarrassing. You know, I'm crying because they don't believe in the men in black, you know, but I do because I've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know they're real, and they will hurt you because, like you said, one of your best friends or whoever it was that got beat up by some of them, you know, they are real.
Well, we know these creatures are out there. We know that they're going to protect themselves, like you said, if they're looking to be harmed. So, you know, I know you're not that way, so I don't think they're going to harm you. And I'm sure the men in black are just trying to scare you just so that you stop probably talking and telling people about the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, like I said, growing up, like I said, I know mom, dad's never heard these stories or any of them. Like I said, when I was younger, I was dating this guy, Randy, and this girl, Jane, from my school was in the car, and we hit one. There's a gigantic, it leaped out and off in front of the car, and it hit a tip, but it leaped over the road like two hit jumps, and it was gone. I mean, we hit it hard, and it didn't hurt it. And then, like, another time when I was with Leroy, we was down this one road, and it hit the car, the Trans Am, so hard, and it started screaming. And then these things, the scream will go right through you. It just like something so evil screaming.
Mhm.
And James saw that one in the morning, then it stood like 9 feet right there during the tree lines, come out of the tree lines here. And we saw like we lived up on the mountain and down the mountain, you know, in the daytime and nighttime, you know, kind of leaves you gives with crosses, especially the cats, you know, bellies cut open and lined up. And, the organs missing. It's just things that they do. They leave signs everywhere like that. You know, it's just, I know.
We're going to be coming out there, Jody. So we're going to come over and we're going to help you and we're going to figure out what's going on and try to get these creatures to leave you alone. And hopefully these men in black come around because then we're going to take care of them also. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but you told me what happened to one of your friends. You remember that one that got taken away for 3 days or was Tom's friend, like 3 days, or one guy.
Well, that was
Rocky. I mean, they beat the living crap out of you.
Yep, but that was Rocky, and he's okay, and he's probably going to be coming with us. So, you know, if we can get him to come out with us, we're going to all come out there, and we're going to make sure that we protect you, and we're going to deal with this, because if anybody can, it'd be my dad, trust me. They stopped messing with Rocky because, you know, my dad got, you know, friends that, you know, so to talk to. So don't worry, don't be scared. You know, just keep yourself protected. You can always just call.
Well, you know, I do want to tell the truth. I want to help people, and why I keep mentioning Matt is because these little towns, and I want people to realize if they're listening to the show, do not call the man because I think he makes fun of people just to travel to make his show better. He don't know what he's doing, and keep knocking, buddy. Keep calling because you might call the wrong one. It'll break your darn neck. I mean, they're big.
And who
I wouldn't mess with it. You know, Matt, I'm just trying to warn people not to call the man because he'd come and help me.
Because
he doesn't help you.
Okay. Marco, how much time we got left?
Probably about 23 seconds.
Okay. Well, you know, I think we should bring Jody back on next week so she gets more out, because I know that talking help Theo, and maybe we
yeah,
can.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't talk a whole lot. I'm just really going to still through that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to have you on for more, but we're running at the end of the time here, Jody, and maybe you'll come back and join us next week.
Yeah, I will. I'll be better by then. Okay. Just trying to get over what happened.
I got you. And don't worry. We'll come out there. We'll see you, and we'll figure out what's going on. Look, folks, I'd like to thank Jody and Ken in Michigan and Jeff over in Missouri. I'd like to thank Rob. And, we didn't get to hear from Rocky or the Swede this evening and all the rest of our guests. Folks, Bigfoot Live Radio every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Check us out on our Facebook, searching for Bigfoot. We're going to be on expedition. Let us know where to come. And thank you very much. Marco, all yours.
Good night, all. We'll see you next week.
All right, good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the fact.